there's a kind of a misconception that like £30,000 can get you like an extravagant wedding. The skill of an MC is their personality. As much as you can watch other people and learn and take little tips from them about how to do things, how you actually implement that within your style is down to your personality. But if you want to get into weddings, you gotta have a passion for it. Like, you have to love, because if you don't, that industry will swallow you up and spit you out. It's a grind, man.
Yeah,
it's a grind. It's less expensive than people think it is.
So maybe that's why a lot of people be going there.
Yeah,
that's actually,
and it's very good. That's value for money, because the food was non-stop. See, everybody, unlimited alcohol, like, and every wedding I've had there, everyone's had a good time.
Behind every amazing wedding, there's an amazing wedding MC. And guys, today I'm joined by one of the best. MC Midday has hosted over 150 weddings, and today he shares his best practice on what to do to make sure the day goes as swimmingly as possible. And guys, you know what to do. If you're liking the content, make sure to like, subscribe, share, comment. You do not want to miss this one. It is full of energy. Now enjoy the show. Hi, welcome to another episode of What My Best Friend Does, where we talk to your best friends in the hope that we can inspire you to go into the career of your dreams and take action right now. Today, I'm joined by my best friend, the wedding MC, Midday. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm very good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
We like to start with a little icebreaker. What did you want to be growing up, bro?
I think back. What did I want to be when I was growing up? Do you know, probably a firefighter.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed like the danger of it, the being the hero kind of thing. I never actually looked into it until like actually a couple of years ago. I think I was looking into it. I didn't look into it.
But
a firefighter is what I wanted to be. Okay. And then a lawyer.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you wanted to be a firefighter. You mentioned lawyer there. Take us back. Like, can you take us through your journey? Through your employment journey and how it is you became a wedding MC?
Yeah, so like I said, I wanted to be a lawyer. I think that was probably just based on like all the legal shows that was going on.
Suits.
Like, suits and stuff.
Classic.
Like, yeah.
Classic.
They give you a deception of what being a lawyer is like, but the reality is just so different. Yeah. I thought when I was young, I liked to talk back, to argue, to challenge people. So I thought, oh yeah, law's
perfect. I object.
Yeah, literally. So I studied law at uni.
Okay.
And then I did a placement at a law firm, I think in the summer of my second year. Okay. And obviously with law, after your degree, then you have to go and do either the LPC if you want to be a solicitor, or if you want to go down the barrister route, there's some more qualifications after. So I was like, cool. If I don't secure a training contract before I start my third year, then I'm not doing law, because I wasn't trying to be involved in that process.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I did the placement and I didn't even enjoy the placement. So I was like, I enjoyed the study of law, but I didn't enjoy the practice of it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. So then I've done a law degree now. What do I do? So I was like, let me try and find a graduate scheme. I can try a couple of different things.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing a graduate scheme at a facilities management company.
Yeah.
Sort of landed in commercial contract management, which is my 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of just stayed in it from there. So it's sort of legal adjacent, but not law.
Yeah. Do you enjoy that?
I plead
the fifth. Another legal term. I plead the fifth.
Next question.
No, it's cool. All right. So, okay, you do the commercial contracting,
yeah,
and then obviously I've introduced you as a wedding MC. So, where did the passion for that come from? How did you even come to learn about that and get into it?
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't even a thing that I ever considered as a career. It wasn't even a thing that I saw that you can do. I just, you know, you go to weddings and stuff just happens. You don't really kind of look at the details. I was the type of guy that if there's a gathering going on, I'm the one that's like, make sure everyone's got a drink, make sure there's a game going on or whatever. How can we get everyone engaged? So people had mentioned it to me, like, oh, you should do weddings. And I was like, that's someone's big day. Like, I can never do that. So much pressure. So somebody found a job posting for hosting kids' parties. And it was, I think it was like £60 an hour at the time, cash in hand. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
I'll take that, yeah.
So literally, they give you like a speaker set up. You've got some games that you play with the kids, 2 hour parties. Yeah, it was a good time. Like, I was having more fun than the kids. Yeah. Tunes, they give you like a whole list of music to play some songs, get them dancing, play some games with them. So that was all good. And then I was doing that for about a year. And then I got booked to host a kids party at a wedding.
Okay.
So they asked me to entertain the kids basically while the wedding was going on. What ended up happening was the kids were late to the wedding because of traffic. So they were like, okay, for the time that we've got you here, can you just like do some entertain adults kind of thing? And I was like, yeah, cool. Like, they gave us a catalogue of music. So we had like the 80s, 90s in there. So I was like, okay, we'll just play some, not like any DJ, none of that, just like play the songs.
Yeah.
But then I helped the videographer with like the family pictures, calling people over, said a few 1-2 comments on the mic. And I was like, this isn't so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. So I started putting it out there, like speaking to my friends that were like planners and stuff. Oh yeah, I'm looking to do weddings. So if you got anybody that needs an MC or whatever, not really like pushing for it, but just like seeing what the options were for it. And around that time, I'd started going to a couple more weddings, so I actually started focusing on, okay, what does the MC do and what does that look like? I think the couple of weddings I did was probably A Dot that I saw a couple of times.
Oh yeah, 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 I've seen him.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Don't look at me like how you think.
He's too funny, yeah, man. Yeah, and he's so good at weddings as well. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. So then my friend's MC dropped out of his wedding, I think 2 weeks before his wedding. So he called me up. He's like, hey bro, are you still coming to my wedding? I was like, yeah, of course. He was like, I need a favor. Can you host my wedding for me? And wow. I was like, alright, cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got the one suit that I had, put it on. It was like a burgundy suit with a burgundy tie. I was looking back at it now, I'm like, that fit was horrible. But yeah, so I put that together, got a schedule, spoke to them, did everything, and then got to the wedding. Now I feel like it was less pressure because I knew a lot of the people that were there.
Yeah.
So it felt a lot easier at the time. So yeah, we got into it, started hosting it. Was going well. The DJ came up to me halfway through and he's like, bro, how long have you been doing this? I was like, well, this is my first wedding. He's like, no, you're good, bro. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna recommend you to some couples.
Jeez.
I was like, okay, dope. He's like, yeah, what's your Instagram? I was like, I don't have Instagram. I didn't have Instagram at the time. He's like, what's your MC name? I was like, I don't have an MC name. I had nothing. Like, literally, I was just there doing the wedding. So he was like, all right, cool. We're gonna make all that now. We're gonna make a name for you. We're gonna make your Instagram. Da 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 da. DJ Tallest, my guy. So yeah, he literally set me up basically. So set me up, and then he got me like my next 5 wedding bookings.
Wow.
And
so,
yeah.
So he's DJ, manager.
Yeah, all of the above, man. All of the above. Honestly, yeah.
Bro, that's too sick. And I suppose, like, obviously that first one, it's your friends. Like, in terms of preparing for a wedding as an MC, what's the process like to make sure that, obviously you've got your natural talent, but how do you make sure you hit all the beats on the wedding day?
Yeah. So obviously you have your call with the couple, maybe the planner sometimes as well, depending on how they work. So my aim on that call is to, one, to understand the couple as individuals and their story, how they got together as well. Mm-hmm. That sort of helps me make it personable on the day. So I bring out the details that get people thinking, oh, he's known him for a long time.
Yeah.
And then we run through what their vision of the day is and why they thought that I would be good enough to help them bring that to life and what I can do to help bring that to life. And then we run through the schedule. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. This happens then. And we go down into the details, like we're doing food. Okay, what style of service are we doing? Is it buffet? Is it plated services or whatever? Okay, cool. How are the drinks going to be served? Do I need to tell people that need to go here or need to go there?
Yeah.
Or all the little details, we run through all of that. And then, yeah, those calls usually last anywhere between like 1 to 2 hours. I've had couples that we've done like 4-hour calls.
Wow.
Yeah, just going through like all the detail. Because literally, I don't want to... I'm trying to get to a stage where you've told me everything so that everything that you wanted to happen on the day, I'm aware of. Mm. Everything that's most important to you, I'm aware of as well. So if we're short on time for any reason, if we need to cut anything,
you know what
I know what I can cut and what I can't cut.
Yeah.
So I'm not coming to you on a day with like little problem. Like, oh, we're short on time. What do you want to do? Like in my mind, I'm really like, okay, cool. You've given me authority to go and do this. Let's just run with the day.
I love it. Do you, as the MC, get to like partake and like watch the whole ceremony and everything, or do you just arrive after and you just get straight stuck in?
Do you know what? Most of the time, 95% of the time, I'm probably arriving an hour before the reception starts.
Okay.
Yeah, just because one, it's going to be a long day, and two, for me, although we'll have a good relationship because we've spoken and part of that call is me building a relationship with them as well. I still feel like the ceremony part is personal, like yeah. very special to you guys. And I don't really know you. Like we met a couple of times. So I feel like that should be reserved for the people that are dear to them and near to them. So I don't really, but if they're like, no, we really want you there. Okay, cool. Then that's different. But I would never ask the question. Mm-hmm. For destination weddings, it's a bit different though, because the logistics is easier for me to be at the wedding because they might have transportation that everybody's on, so it's easier for me to move that way. So destinations, I'm probably always going to be there at the ceremony. But for UK ones, unless they've explicitly said, oh, we really want you there, or somebody that I personally know, mm-hmm. then I'm probably just going to be there for a reception.
I love that. And like you mentioned the fact that like the DJ that you knew, he got your first 5 bookings.
Mm.
Do you like work in tandem then? So like, do you typically travel to a wedding with like the DJ that's booked, or are you going on your own and like you're linking up with whichever DJ is introducing yourself to the first time there? How does it typically work?
Yes, it's a weird industry. I always say like, there's not many industries that every single wedding you're working with a whole new group of people. So I'm not booked with anybody. I'm always booked as MC Midday by myself. Okay. They book the DJ individually. Sometimes they might come to me if they've booked me early enough and be like, okay, what DJs do you recommend, or what DJs do you work well with? And then I'll go and book them that way.
Mm-hmm.
But most times I'm finding out who the DJ is on like the call or when we get there. But yeah, it's weird that I've probably worked with like, maybe done like 150 weddings, probably worked with like 100 different DJs.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
150. I'm so happy to hear you say that, because my next question is like, of 150, you know, you've mentioned the fact that you do the pre-call, you make sure everything is right. Have you ever listened to some people and gone, you know what, maybe I'm not the MC for you? Or do you always find a way to make sure you're the right fit for the bride and groom?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever felt on the consultation call that I wasn't the right MC for them, because I think the way that I market myself is done in a way where all my inquiries come to me. I'm not chasing inquiries. So if you've inquired of me, it means that you saw what I did and you wanted that at your wedding.
Yeah.
So I've been fortunate enough that most of my weddings have sort of worked out that way, where I felt if I was like out there pushing it, like chasing sales and trying to get leads and all that sort of stuff, I might have found myself in that kind of position.
Mm.
I did a 50th birthday though once. So when I started, I was like, I'm only doing weddings. Speaking to my friend, he was like, no, like you're missing out on, there's a market here for like the weddings, like 50th wedding, 60th. I was like,
yeah.
I hear it, but it's not really my thing.
Yeah.
Literally like a week after this conversation, a 50th wedding booking came up, and I was like, do you know what, let me just try it out. So I get there, I'm driving to the wedding now. First thing, there was like a mad accident literally like 10 minutes away from the wedding on the motorway. And they literally shut the motorway, so it was like I was there for 2 hours. Luckily the wedding was late and I'd left early enough that I got there. Like, birthday was late, sorry. But I literally arrived like 5 minutes before it was starting, so I'm really panicking to get started. The vibe was a bit like the energy that I usually have at a wedding, it wasn't there. The things that I would use, I'm quite cheeky, so the stuff that I'm saying isn't really landing the way that I wanted to land. I was just in my head after an hour, I was like, yeah, never again. Never again.
That's the moral of the story though.
Yeah.
You know your sweet spot.
Exactly.
If you know your sweet spot, just lean into that.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. If people tell you to branch out and you know it's not for you,
yeah,
do it, try it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's give it a try and see, but you know, yeah, know what's good for you and stick to it.
So just like going on top of that, you mentioned the fact that a lot of your business is inbound. Can you, yeah, talk about some of the strategies you utilize to market yourself and get those inbound and bookings for weddings?
Yeah. So obviously Instagram is the main tool. I think when I started, I was like, okay, I want to present myself in a certain way. So how I dressed was one of the main things.
Sharp. I've seen him. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, the suits, yeah. The suit collection is growing. And obviously always with a tie, always like there's certain things that you'll always see me for wedding. Like my blazer will always be done up, only the top button.
Yeah.
Always in a tie, always got the shoes, always got a pocket square, always got my lapel pin. And that is how I look throughout the whole wedding. And then obviously I was like, I need to get professional shots done. So some of the weddings, I bring a videographer with me.
So is it your videographer or is it the wedding videographer?
No, my videographer.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously, yeah. I'll obviously get the permission from the couple as well. But yeah, just because I was like, I want my brand to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Which obviously then attracts clients because people have come to me and they're like, oh yeah, the reason we booked you is because of how you dressed, or the reason we booked you is because like your videos look professional or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that was one. Instagram's always the main one. I've got a website. So pushing that SEO and all that good stuff. And then obviously I started the podcast, which half was about making sure that the knowledge that I've picked up over weddings in terms of how people can do things better is spread. But also it's another avenue for me to showcase myself that's not at weddings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on that, some listeners will know this, but some won't. I'm getting married in 2 weeks. I met midday after I'd booked all my things. So look, don't even.
Who's
like,
your MC?
Right, yeah.
Who's your MC?
It's actually my friend Maria. Okay, we've got two. Okay. So basically, me and my wife, we've got two like are the funniest people we know. So I've got Maria from my side, and she's got Ro from her side.
Okay,
both have been guests on this podcast, by the way. And yeah, they're doing like a double team act.
Okay, dope.
But you mentioned the fact that there are things that people always miss out on for weddings. Yeah, talk to me, bro. What is it that we need to consider? 2 weeks to go. Let me start sweating.
Do you know what? It's some little things, some are big things, and it's not even it's things that not even that they don't consider or miss, but they might just not have been aware of, or they look back and they're like, oh, I wish I did that a bit differently. So the main one that people miss is obviously you've got to give, I think it's 30 days notice to the council when you want to get married.
Islington, don't come find me.
So yeah, in terms of the 30 days notice, a lot of people don't know that until they're in the process. So I've literally heard a situation where people had to move their wedding dates because they didn't have the, didn't get it in time, or they've done the wedding, but obviously it's technically not a legal marriage because you've had to then do the registrar the next week because you've missed a date or things like that. Things like dance laws and light and production, people don't, when I talk about production, people are like, oh, what's that? But when you get to a wedding and you see the lights going, and you see the dance law and you see the monogram on the DJ booth as well, when it's all matching, everyone's like, oh, that looks so amazing.
Yeah.
And you see what it looks like without it, it's like a massive difference. Mm. But people don't consider it. And sometimes people don't have a dance and they're like, oh, I wish I had a dance.
Yeah. So from all the weddings that you've done, what would you say, I don't see a wedding ring, what would you say are the key things that you are going to make sure you have at your wedding if there were three things?
First one is a coordinator. I'm still in 2 months or whatever, I'll get a planner. Partly because over the years I've built up a lot of
connections.
But definitely on the day coordination, that part is so important. I think people underestimate that role. And then I've been to weddings where there's no coordinator. I think there was a wedding I did, one of the guests came in to the bride and groom were doing their first reveal of the venue. A guest came in to ask the bride, where can I get ice?
Oh my God.
And I was like, is that the person you should be asking? Is this like, what? I'm just so confused. But if you have a coordinator, there's always somebody there to, as a buffer, to them questions are going to go directly, or people not calling your phone in the morning or anything like that. So have a coordinator, definitely. I think guest seating plan is crucial. If you don't have a seating plan, you're asking for trouble.
It's a free for all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think the third one is probably, it probably pertains to entertainment as a whole. Is just consider what type of guest you have, and understand what vibe that's going to give you. Because you get some people that want like a party atmosphere at their wedding, but 80% of the guests are their parents' friends.
Yeah.
So you're not really going to get that.
Yeah.
So you have to understand what you've got and then use the vendors that you're booking to make the best of that situation.
Yeah. Do you know, it's funny you say that. I don't know who was telling me this, but I was talking to someone about a wedding they went to the other day and they were like, yeah, the bride and groom played garage for about 5 hours and nobody else liked garage.
There you go.
They were like, so it was just like, they were like, the bride and groom had a great time and we know it's your special day, but like, yeah, read the room, yeah, read the room. And they just didn't read the room. Yeah. So I completely get that. Where do I want to go from there? So you've obviously done so many, like different types of wedding. Like, do you have a specialty? Like, are you what do you have a certain genre going with what you've just said, or are you, do you appeal to everyone?
I think I appeal to everyone.
Okay.
It's probably for everyone else to decide. I think I appeal to everybody. I'm quite open. I like to make sure that everybody's involved and included, especially like the guests. Like, one of my main things is sometimes you go to weddings and as a guest it feels like a bit of a procession, stuff just happens in front of you.
Yeah.
So I always try and do something that gets the guests involved and engaged.
Yeah.
And
on that, like I said, I've been to a wedding. You like to get the games going.
Mm.
Yeah. Talk to us about how you get the guests involved and yeah, like how this has all come about.
Yeah. So it's like, so yeah, like I said, it's probably built up from my experience of attending weddings as a guest and just being sat down for the whole time, and then when it's time to get up and dance, so it's like, oh, everybody's get up now, and it's like, well, not even been warmed up.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So when I started, I was like, what can I do to engage the guests? And obviously, there's games that you can do. Obviously, it depends on what the couple want to do as well. So yeah, if the couple don't want to do a game, we're not going to do a game.
Yeah.
But if they do, then there's games that actively engage the guests, and there's games that they can be involved with without actually doing anything. So there's a game called Bring Me an Item, where you get like 6 people up on chairs and you'll say,
who won? Who won at the wedding we were at?
Who did
it? It was me! I won! I won! He doesn't even remember!
Do you know what I don't remember? Because what I remember from that wedding was somebody picking up the bride and dropping her.
If you're listening, Sarah, I'm sorry.
Hey, Sarah, we're sorry. We're sorry. I'm sorry I said get a doctor because I thought there was more doctors in the room.
We just rushed. We was thinking about
you got AJ, which was fine. And then he picked up the bride. And when she was coming, I was like, okay, this is fine. And then he got to the dance floor and I was like, okay. And then he slipped. And I was like,
yeah.
But do you know what?
They took it well.
Exactly. Those are the kind of moments where you need a bride and groom that are going to be able to take it well, because it could have gone so left.
Yeah. Okay, so you got Bring Me an Item. What other games typically do you use?
So there's a wedding trivia game,
okay,
which I'll do. So the bride and groom will send me 15 questions and answers in advance, answer being either bride or groom. All the guests will stand up with a napkin in one hand, a glass in the other hand.
Okay.
I'll ask the question. They will answer whichever one they think is correct. If they get it wrong, they sit down. And we just keep going until we've got one person left standing. Yeah.
Okay.
So little things that we're not doing too much. They're standing at their seats. They're just answering questions. But it's a laugh. And then you can like throw a cheeky comment off the back of it. So if one of the questions is like, who's got better dress sense? And they've given me the answer. Everybody votes bride, nobody votes groom. I'm like, what? So what, everybody's saying that the groom can't dress? Is that what everybody's saying?
Just little stuff like that.
Have a little fun with it. Keep it light. Just little things like that give people a sense of, okay, we were actually considered in this process of wedding.
And like with your approach, is this stuff that like you've learned, you've seen other MCs do, or is this something that you've just naturally developed over the years?
I think it's a bit of both.
Okay.
I think obviously like particularly games, for example, like a lot of the games that you do, I think wedding trivia was probably a more recent one. I hadn't actually seen that done, to be fair, but Like the traditional Mr. and Mrs. game, the bringing up, like those are just games that have been around for ages. So you can add a little different spin to it, but those have been around. I think probably more just watching people, but as well, I think the skill of an MC is their personality. So as much as you can watch other people and learn and take little tips from them about how to do things, how you actually implement that within your style is down to your personality.
So you've mentioned personality there. What are the key skills you think a wedding MC needs in order to be successful?
Okay. You got to be able to talk to a brick wall. Because as well as that, like, so as soon as I get to a wedding, people are like, oh, like, what if you're having a bad day, or what if, like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, as soon as I get out of that car, smile, game face on, until I get back in at the end of the wedding. So I could literally be walking through and somebody stops me. We have to have a lovely conversation. Yeah. It has to be.
Yeah.
Or I'm walking in, I see the parents of the bride or groom, whatever, the compliments are flying. And especially after I've started to, when I get there, obviously people don't really know who I am or what I'm doing. When I get on the microphone and start, then okay, during throughout the day, everyone knows I'm the MC, so they can come to me with any question. When I have to have all the knowledge about whatever's going on, like where the toilets are, what time's food, what's happening next.
Okay, so you get all of that as well.
Oh yeah, we have to.
Wow, so you're like almost like backup planner as well, like
backup coordinate, cool, like backup light coordinate. Touch okay, on the day, yeah, but yeah, okay. I still need the coordinator to be able to do my job. But yeah, I think, yeah, being able to talk to anybody, being personable. I think organization is obviously important, because if there's no coordinator, sometimes you might even have to help them draw up a schedule for the day as well. Obviously time management is important. Like as an MC, you cannot be late to a wedding.
And also you've got to keep the time as well, right? Yeah. Like in between the courses, make sure games don't overrun, make sure they finish on time.
Yeah.
I love it. This is a random one, but I'm going to ask it. Like as the MC, like, do you get time to eat with everyone, or is it like, I'll eat when I'm back in my car? Like, do you get like the same privileges as the guests?
Most times.
Yeah.
Most times we do. Obviously it varies depending on like, what's going on. So like if you've got a buffet, for example, sometimes you've got coordinators that are calling up tables so you can have a seat and have some food. Sometimes I've got to call up the table so I can't physically do anything until food is done. But then like I might grab a quick plate just before I call the last couple of tables maybe. But I've literally from weddings just been accustomed to eating food in 5 minutes, just getting it down.
Ever any mishaps?
Do you know what, that's the one thing that I'm like most proud of in my whole
touch wood wedding.
Let me not speak it. I've never had a mishap. It must have been wedding number 8, and I had my videographer with me. The caterers were bringing, we had a vendor's table in a separate room for food, so they were bringing us meals, and the waiter literally drops like a lamb shank on my videographer. Luckily he was wearing black and had another shirt in his car.
Okay.
Dropped all over his top, and I was like, wow, that could have been me.
Yay!
And so after that, I've always got a backup suit and a backup shirt in my car.
Okay, smart.
Just in case. But still, it's going to be like, I'll come out in a burgundy suit, let's say, and then later I'm in a blue suit, and everyone's like, why are you changing?
Surprise.
But yeah, I hope that never happens. I'm mad careful about how I eat and what I eat.
Yeah.
So that certain dishes I'm just not going to touch.
Oh, okay. So there's no agusi.
None of that. And it's the end of the night and there's amala, then I'm there.
Yeah.
But like during the wedding, I'm having like whatever I can, even like the pieces of meat that you're giving me, I'm like, can I fit that in my mouth in one? If I have to bite it and there's pajamas or splashback,
it's long.
I don't want
it. It's long. I love it. So we spoke about, like some of the qualities that you see in some of the best MCs. Have there been any like difficult moments? You know, you mentioned the fact that you've got to be good at speaking to a brick wall. What have those difficult moments been and how have you overcome them?
So toughest wedding I've done, it was one of those weddings where the bride and groom were looking for a certain vibe. The majority of the guests were the parents, friends. And it was a long hall, and the bride and groom were at one end. The entrance was in the middle, and then their friends and their people were actually at the back of the hall. Oof. So majority of from the entrance walkway down to the dance floor was all like parents and that older friends that some of them even like flown in and stuff. So like the response that I was getting from the people at the back wasn't even really that much because they was just so far they felt a bit disconnected.
Yeah,
the energy from the front wasn't well, they weren't giving any energy back. So I said, "Rah, how do we get around this?" But we just power through. And it was one of those ones where like they probably would have been better off with like a comedian type MC for that kind of crowd. And it literally at one point the mother of the bride came up to me and was like, I think it was during food service. She came up to me and she was like, "Oh, can you tell some jokes?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm not a comedian."
Yeah.
She was like, "Oh, it's okay. Just Google some jokes." And I was like, "So I should put my brand on the line for Google jokes." I was like, "Do you know what?" I was like, "No, I'll come and play a game. We'll play a game." So we played a couple of games. And literally, as soon as the second game was done, I was like, "Cool, we're going to finish up with food service." I just went and hid somewhere for like the next half an hour.
Wow. Wow. These people are willing to put on the line like that.
I was like, so that's how they'll come and say, "No, this MC was so rubbish. His jokes are horrible." Nah, I was like, "No."
Can you believe he was using Google? Google, man. You might as well give it me the piece. So where do I want to go from the next? Yeah, so to anybody who's listening to this and they're like, "You know what? I think I want to become like a wedding MC, you know, if Mede leave some weddings for me, you know, there's an opportunity." What would like your main piece of advice be? What would the immediate next step for somebody who wants to host a wedding be?
What, starting from scratch?
Yeah.
I think, obviously first...
Find a wedding.
Find a wedding. Yeah, literally, find a wedding, like speak to people around you. Because that's probably going to be the best way in. Like, it's a bit of chicken and egg when you're starting because people want to see content to book you, but you need weddings to get content.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you break that cycle? But I think that when I was talking to somebody as well, that was just wanting to get started. And like my first pictures on my Instagram was literally me in a field with a microphone just taking pictures.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So well, it looks like I'm at a wedding, but I'm just in my brother's back garden.
Okay. And now we've got AI and them things. You know what I mean? You can easily just... You can put yourself on the moon. Literally, I will go anywhere in the galaxy.
But yeah, literally find a wedding. So speak to people around you, anyone that you know is getting married, or people obviously, because... not everyone can afford to get like an MC, or some people just want to get a friend to do it or something. So literally just go out there, look for who's getting married, see if they need an MC, if they want an MC, offer your services for free, get the content, and then start that way.
And just on that, like, you don't need to, you know, say how much it costs to book you, but in terms of like doing your research to understand the value an MC can command at a wedding, how would you go about doing that for anybody who might feel like they're undervalued or looking to like level up as an MC?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to put like a specific number on it. The way I always say it is, look, work out what your costs are, and then obviously that will give you a baseline. Work out how much you value your time at. So if you're gonna be at a wedding for like say eight hours, how much is your time worth to you? And then put an hourly figure to it. And then obviously you want a little bit of profit on top of that. So add that, and then that should give you a number. It's obviously not gonna be an exact science in terms of reaching the figure that you want, but it will give you a number that you're comfortable with. And then the market will tell you whether you're pricing yourself too high or not.
Yeah.
If you put your price out there and all you're getting is just radio silence and no feedback, then you're too expensive for what you're showing.
Yeah.
Again, also, if you give people your price and they immediately say, "Oh yeah, I'll pay the full thing now," then you know that, okay, you can probably push your price a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's about understanding where you sit in the market. If you're just coming in, you can't be charging exorbitant amounts and expecting to get bookings.
I love that. And
for like abroad weddings versus weddings that are held locally, is it same price plus flights and accommodation, or how does it work?
It's a bit, do you know what, we're actually having this conversation with a couple of MCs around like pricing and for destination weddings versus UK weddings, and it's the same across all vendors that travel, to be fair, but it's always going to cost more. Obviously you have your fee, then you'll have obviously the travel costs, so flight, hotel, transfers, all that good stuff, but then you increase your price because you can't do a wedding the day before and the day after because of travel requirements, so they're effectively booking you for 3 days work, and they're not going to charge them for 3 days of work, but you need to factor that into your costs. 100%. Also you need to factor in like, so what in an ideal situation, what you want to happen is that by the time you get back home, you've got your full fee. Mm-hmm. But over there, you're going to have to eat food. You're going to have to, you might have to travel to the airport or drive or whatever. So that's factored into the cost as well. So destination wedding, the fee itself is always going to be more plus than the travel cost. Yeah. It's expensive to fly vendors out, man.
Bro, I can't lie. It is. But you enjoy it, right? When you go.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. The vibe is a lot better because people are on holiday, they're enjoying themselves, they're having a good time. So naturally, the vibe is just always better for the guests.
And like I've been to a couple of abroad weddings and like, it's hot, bro. So you mentioned the fact that you're always in a buttoned up suit and that. Man, trying to faint from dehydration, or do we switch it up for the abroad wedding?
Nah, it stays buttoned up, man. I did one the other day. Okay, I'm probably not going to wear a tie.
Okay.
But yeah, like literally, I was even shopping yesterday. I was like, I need to find a linen suit because
yeah, bro.
The session I did. Yeah, it was hot, man.
Yeah.
You're there the whole day, it's cooking, no shade for that, some parts.
And you're standing up. Yeah. You got to switch it up, don't you? Let me not change the brand.
That's the thing. Like, I don't want to steer too far, but I've got to find a way to, because, yeah, them seats that I wear over here cannot fly over there for sure.
You've done a lot of weddings, and it sounds like you're always, I'd say, willing to push the envelope and try new things.
Mm.
Is it just a case of, if you go to a wedding and you get inspired, oh, I might try that? Or are you doing other bits of research to see how you can elevate your MC game at upcoming weddings?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. To be honest, I actually haven't been, I probably average about maybe like one wedding a year as a guest now. Me and my people ain't getting married. Yeah, so there's not actually many weddings that I go to that I'm like, oh, okay, I can draw inspiration from that. But when I do, I'm always looking at the MC and seeing what they do and how they're dealing with different situations and all that sort of stuff. So there is a bit of that. I think I do some research outside as well because I want to try and bring like new stuff. So like games, for example, I want to like bring out games that haven't been done that people are like, oh gosh, that's so cool. Yeah. Or stuff like that, yeah.
And you mentioned like earlier, you know, talking to some other MCs about like costs and whatever, are you guys also like sharing ideas of like how you can improve one another and like sharing experiences?
So we've actually got a group chat, so a group chat for the MCs in the UK. And
what do you need to do to make it? That's when you know you made it, right? When you get invited to that chat. Mama made it.
I think so. Yeah, obviously it's a space where like, obviously, you know, when you've had a couple of weddings and they can see that you're serious about it, then it's like, okay, yeah, cool. It literally started over lockdown. Obviously, there was no wedding, so people said, okay, what can we do? And a couple of the MCs were like, let's make a platform where we can sort of share knowledge and help people that are trying to get started and stuff.
That's sick.
So literally, it started off with like 10 sessions of like covering different topic areas of how to basically build a brand as an MC, or how to do this, or like legal side or contracting or pricing and all that sort of stuff. So we just obviously share knowledge in there. If you've got a wedding booking that you can't do because you're already booked, you put it in there. If somebody's available, they can do it as well.
Sick. Yeah. And when you put it in there, sorry, this is the businessman in me, are you taking finder's fee or I bless you with this one?
Yeah, exactly. It works, okay. Whereas you scratch mine, I'll scratch yours,
what goes around. I love it. We've spoken so much about like the wedding experience and what it takes to become a great MC. What would you say is the most stressful aspect of being a wedding MC?
Probably just making sure that the couple's vision for the day is achieved. I think. Because yeah, I go into it and I'm like, okay, cool. I never really have a script, but for a wedding, I'm always like, we just roll with whatever happens. Mm-hmm. But you're always nervous that the couple have got an idea of how the wedding's going to go in their mind. And for me, the guests really make the wedding. So if the guests aren't responding in the way that the bride and groom had hoped, then it's a bit like... But then, so it's my job to then try and find a way to marry the two up.
Yeah.
But that's probably the most stressful part for me.
Okay, I love it. And what would you say is the most enjoyable part?
I think just seeing smiles in different corners of the room, whether that be the bride and groom or the parents or just the guests, and they're engaged and they're enjoying stuff. Yeah, I think just seeing everything come together, because I know that the wedding planning process is a serious, it's like a full-time job basically, planning a wedding. So to see all of that come together and to be a part of it, yeah, I think that's probably the best part. It's an honor to that people see my, I'm still shocked, like when I get an inquiry, I'm like, right, so you saw myself and thought, yeah, let me book this guy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I love it. And just on that, like you mentioned the fact that like you do the 4-hour call, and you really get to, you know, understand like the needs for it to be their special day. We spoke about like kind of being like the backup coordinator. Are there any other stakeholders you need to make sure you're in contact with before the big day, or is it just like the bride and groom?
Yeah, so probably just the bride and groom that's required before the day. Coordinator, obviously, to touch base, make sure that if there's any details that I need from them or they need from me, we do that. Like I said, I arrive at a wedding an hour before I start, and that's the time that I use to link up with a DJ, called DJ, have you got all the songs we need? Okay, I'm going to do this game. Might need to play some backup music or whatever that might be. Touch base with catering, cool. Are we going to be on time? Or how long do you need or whatever? So all the information that I need to be able to deliver when I get the mic, I'll use that hour when I get there to pick that up, basically.
Okay, sick, sick, sick. It sounds like there's a lot to do. I always like to ask my guests, like, do you have any productivity hacks?
My productivity hack is just to drown in whatever that he's doing.
That's it.
There's no hack. I literally I need one, because at the moment, yeah, there's the to-do list is just constant and forever growing.
Is it?
Yeah, because obviously, as well, there's I've got 9 to 5, I've got the weddings, I've got the podcast, and there's all sorts of other stuff going on as well, so... just managing those, yeah. On top of that, you've got like, I mean, each of them has its own, like my personal wedding stuff. Then you've got the Instagram for it, then TikTok, then you've got the podcast, then you've got the editing, then you've got the TikTok for that Instagram.
It sounds like you need more hours in the day, my bro. Right.
Yeah, that's literally what I need. If I had more hours in the day, I think I'd be all right. Yeah. But no, yeah,
do you know? I'll give you a couple that I've heard on this podcast. So one is the Pomodoro technique. So 25 minutes work, 5 minutes rest, and in that 25 minutes, like, focus work, put your phone away, whatever. That's one that people love. And then another one I think would be really good is, if you can do a task in 5 minutes, do it then.
I've heard that.
Get
one.
It out the way.
Yeah.
And then if it's a wider task, okay, maybe that goes on a to-do list, but do the quick one there and then. If not, you'll leave it, you'll never get done.
Yeah, agree.
So there's two.
I'm taking that one, for sure.
Boom. this has been such a sick conversation. Just before we go into like the next segment, so first things first, where does Mide see himself, yourself as a wedding MC in the next 5 to 10 years?
5 to 10. 10 years. I don't know, you know. 10 years definitely, or 5 years definitely full time in weddings. Obviously the podcast has grown as well, so looking to grow with that. I think I want to do more in weddings. So effectively just ways that I can like provide different services to weddings, make stuff easier for couples.
So go beyond the MCing.
Yeah. But yeah, I think 10, I don't know about 10 years though, because I don't think being an MC is a, like, it's a young man's game.
So you think?
I think so. I think like, yeah, like, It depends, innit? Like you'd have to shift. Like,
but this black don't crackle. So you be looking young for a long time.
The looks is one thing, but like being able to relate to like whatever's that's going true. On. So
yeah,
like, that is keeping true. Up with that sort of stuff. Like
that's very true. That's very true.
And you kind of like, I know my audience of people that are going to book me. That audience in 10 years time are effectively all going to be married. Not all married, but majority are going to be married. And
Lord forgive me for saying this, but half of them are going to be going on to marry number two. So maybe, well, God forgive me, hopefully not. Forbid. But there might be some repeat business.
Maybe. Okay. But like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't see myself being like,
in it forever.
45, 50 and being an MC, like, just, yeah. So yeah, I'm hoping that by that time I could have, even if it went in something else, done it, set up some things where I can maybe move back behind the scenes, or it's not like front of house kind of thing. Yeah. So I'm still working on what exactly that is at the moment. But
you've got like a... I love that, because weddings, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's always
business to be had there. Mm. And doing what you do, you've got a front row seat into seeing where the opportunities are. So, you know, if you need someone to partner up with, you get me, mate. You know, drop me a little WhatsApp. You know, I'm joking. Brother, do you know what? I said we was going to stop, but we're not. Because, yeah, we've touched upon the podcast. And, you know, you've mentioned you want to grow that.
Mm.
Who is like the target audience for the podcast? Is it for people who are about to get married, or yeah, who's it aimed at?
Yeah, yeah. So literally, people get married. Yeah, it's called the Vendors Table.
Okay.
So yeah, it's targeted at people that are getting married, or have just got engaged, or are in that sort of process. And there's just a whole. So I have conversations with vendors and with previous couples or couples that have already been married. And with the couples that have been married, we talk through what their wedding day was like, breakdown of the costs, and sort of give you an idea of what X amount of money can get you at a wedding, or what yeah. that kind of looks like. Because I think there's a kind of a misconception that like £30,000 can get you like an extravagant wedding. Do you know what I mean? So I want to kind of bring a bit of reality to like, okay, this is what a 30K, this is what a 6K wedding looks like, that kind of thing. And what they would have done differently, if they could have done anything differently. And then also bring vendors on and talk about what they need to consider, or what couples need to consider when they're thinking about booking an MC, booking a DJ, booking a caterer,
yeah.
Stuff that they might not already have considered, to like different catering styles for food, like buffet, plated, or family style.
Yeah.
People might have never heard of these things, but
I know all
you're gonna
well.
Have to consider them.
Yeah. And so it's Vendors Table. Where can we find it? Is it YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere?
All of the above. So yeah, YouTube obviously is the main one. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music, we're on Apple Podcasts, and Apple Music.
Yeah.
YouTube. I said YouTube, Instagram, yeah. TikTok.
Okay, damn. Yeah. And you said that you've been doing it for, what would it be, like a year and a half now?
Year and a half now, yeah. So December 22.
Sick. And what's the, I like to do something called the Manifest Corner. You've obviously said what you want to do with the MC, and where is it you'd like the podcast to be in a few years' time?
I think I just want the podcast to be like a sort of a resource for couples to tap into whenever they're thinking about things. So ideally I want it to be a place where obviously we have the podcast and we'll have that, but there's also other things that I'm sort of working on at the moment.
That
they're getting up, so
yeah, you don't want to tell me too much, because yeah. He knows I'm going to ask for a little bring it now. I'm joking.
But yeah, there's little ideas that I've been having that we're sort of putting the wheels in motion for, that will help couples just make the planning process a lot easier, because yeah. I think the process is taxing, and people kind of, also people are a bit unaware of like how long it is to actually plan a wedding.
Yeah.
So anything that I can do to assist or make that easier, that's sort of the aim of the podcast.
I love that. And just on that, like, you've been doing it for many years. Like, how does the planning of a wedding change year on year? And what I mean by that, the costs. Because, you know, people talk about cost of living, the cost of this, cost of that. Have you seen, like, you know, you mentioned the 30K wedding versus the 60K wedding. Is 30K this year versus what 30K got you 4 years ago? Is it just, like, vastly different? And, like, how have you seen things change over the years?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The things cost more, innit? It's just the way of inflation. And obviously, vendors' costs go up in line with their costs. So decorators, for example, going out and sourcing flowers and all this sort of stuff, the price of that goes up. So in turn, their prices have to go up as well. Yeah. So yeah, man, price. I mean, naturally, prices go up every year anyway. But then the cost of living has sort of impacted that a bit more.
So then, and I know we spoke about it earlier, but then for you, your costs go up every year because petrol goes up every year, because the cost of a suit goes up every year, yeah. because Oyster goes up every year if you're getting trained.
Yeah.
So then your thing has to go up every year
exactly,
as well.
Exactly, yeah. So right. dry cleaning, cost of dry cleaning, like all these little costs that that are factored into my price, they go up. So then my cost goes up as well. But also, obviously, as each year goes by, you get a bit more experience as well. So that would then allow you to command a higher price.
Okay, I love it. I want two bits of advice now before we get into the quick fire round. The first one is to any aspiring people who want to work in the wedding industry or, like we said, MCs. Mm. If you had one key takeaway from this conversation, what would you want it to be?
If you want to get into weddings, you gotta have a passion for it.
Yeah,
like you have to love. Because if you don't, that industry will swallow you up and spit you out. It's a grind, man.
Yeah.
It's a grind.
Yeah, I love it. And then, obviously, like we said, you've done so many weddings. For anybody who's planning an upcoming wedding, if you had one thing that they needed to take away from this conversation to make sure they consider, what would it be?
My one thing would probably be people get over it. And by that, I mean, if you wanted to invite 100 people to your wedding and you're now invited 200 because of whatever, like, cut it down to 100, man.
Yeah.
People get over it. Like, it's your day, it's your money, you're spending it. Let it be the day that you want for you guys. Like, I've seen enough weddings where half or a quarter of the room, you're meeting them for the first time on your wedding day. How crazy is that? So yeah, people get over it. Do your wedding how you want to do it.
I love it. I mean, this has been a sick conversation. We do have a quick fire round. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Favorite wedding venue?
Oh my goodness, that's a tough one. There's loads of good ones. I'm gonna pick Solar da Levada in Portugal.
Oh, I saw some Instagrams of that place. That place looks unbelievable.
That place is stunning.
Can I get an inside scoop? What does that set someone back if they want to book it?
Do you know what? So I don't actually know details, but I was speaking to one of the grooms, and I think he told me, obviously I think their price has gone up now, but this may be like a year, 2 years ago maybe. But it was probably up when 200 people, and I think it was about 40k, and that included decoration and food and drink, unlimited alcohol for all the guests.
No.
Yeah, it's less expensive than people think it is.
So maybe that's why a lot of people be going there.
Yeah.
Because that's actually...
And it's very good. That's value for money. Because the food was non-stop. Obviously, everybody, unlimited alcohol, like, and every wedding I've had there, everyone's had a good time. Okay. Food is good there, like, service as well.
I feel like a lot of people have started to book that place.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
If you know, obviously not everyone, but yeah, like,
yeah.
I've heard about that place. Like, yeah. You said that. Okay, sick. Have you got a favorite quote?
Favorite quote: if God is for me, then who can be against me?
Jeez, love it. Money or happiness? Look at the turmoil this is causing.
Do you know why? happiness. I okay, happiness.
Love it. Work from home or work from the office?
Home.
Would you rather travel to the past or future?
Past.
Who has it easier, men or women?
It swings and roundabouts. It depends what we're talking about.
Swings and roundabouts? Is that what we're going
I'm
with?
Going no comment. Yeah.
Okay, you're going no comment. Yeah. That's fine. Dream dinner guest?
That's a good question. Lewis Hamilton.
Okay, like it. And then the final one. I was thinking, like, should I ask it? But yeah, I'm just going to do it and hopefully you can answer it. If you could host any person's wedding in the world, who would you host? Man or female, and then we don't know their partner, so whoever, yeah.
Let's go Bukayo Saka.
Okay, Starboy. Yeah. Come on the boys tonight as well. And Mina, this has been such a sick conversation, so much energy. We do have a closing tradition on this podcast. With everything that you've been through, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your younger self, and would you still be doing the same thing?
The advice would be just take action on your ideas. Because I feel like there's a lot of ideas that I had that I just didn't take action on, and I've seen implementation of those ideas and I'm like, oh, it could be me. Would I have been doing by then? I don't know, maybe not.
That's fair, bro.
Maybe not. Probably just because, like I said, it wasn't something that I always wanted to do. It was something that sort of landed and ended up doing. Sort of had applied the same application to this as to other things, and I probably would have been doing something else.
I love it. Midair, bro, this has been such a sick conversation. Where can people find you, bro?
See, I'm on my Instagram, MC Midair MC. Yeah, that's the main one. Obviously, the Vendor Table podcast as well, and Vendor Table on Instagram and TikTok as well.
Okay, sick. Midair. Yeah, like I said, thank you so much for coming on. Guys, if you've gotten to this point in the show, you know what to do. Like, subscribe, share, comment. We're really trying to talk to everybody out here. Let us know who you want to hear from next. This has been another episode of What My Best Friend Does. If you didn't know, now you know. Now go away and take some action. Over and out.